This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, we are talking about going to graves and asking favors from the occupant of the grave, from the person who is in that grave, and or asking them to make dua for us. And that came out of the question, can the dead hear the living? And I gave you the example of people who do this. Now people who do this do it in two ways. One is that they go to the grave of the individual who they consider to be or who they call the wali of Allah, and they ask that individual for a favor. So for example, they go to the grave of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, which is in Baghdad, and they ask him for a favor. I don't have a child, give me a child. I don't have a job, get me a job. I don't have a spouse, get me a spouse, whatnot. Right? They ask him for a favor. Please understand, if you are doing that with the belief that he can hear you, that he can understand you, that he can grant you this favor, then you have committed open shirk and you have left Islam. You have to now re-enter Islam. And I will say to you that you are very lucky that he cannot hear you. Because if he could hear you, and you are lucky he cannot do anything, including grant you your favor. Because if he could hear you and if he could do something, then you would have received a very strong slap on your face for committing shirk in his name. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, I don't even know people who do all this, whether they even know who he was. Did you know that he was actually Persian? Right? I don't say Irani because there was no Iran. This was Persia. That land was Persia. He was Persian, he was Hanbali, and he was Sunni. He was a Persian Hanbali Sunni scholar, and he was a jurist, he was a Qadi, and he was based in Baghdad. He was not Arab. And he lived, he was born in 1078 and he died in 1166. So, to give you some perspective, he was born 78 years after the University of Oxford had been founded. In those days it was not called University of Oxford, but Oxford College was founded in the UK in the year 1000. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh was born on 10th, they have the exact date, which is March 23, 1078, and he passed away on 21st of February 1166. So in terms of the languages that he knew, you could say that perhaps he knew, obviously he was Persian, and so therefore he knew, he was born in Jilan in Iran, currently Iran, town of Naif in Jilan, which is in Iran. So he would have known Farsi, Persian, and obviously he knew Arabic. And I don't know what other languages he knew, but obviously he did not know English, and he did not know Urdu, because Urdu did not exist at that time. There was no language called Urdu, and Swan Rajiv, I'm saying these two languages because we are the people who go there probably most often. Anyway, so now you go there at his grave and you say this. Think about this. Here is a person who was born, now he's born over 1,000 years ago. He lived over 1,000 years ago. You go there and you ask him for a favor. Even before I give you the Quranic evidence of whether or not he can hear you, just think logically. Let us assume that he could hear you. You are talking to somebody who did not know you, who was born and who lived 1,000 years ago, who did not speak the language that you speak. He never spoke that language, so he doesn't understand that language. And you think that he knows you, and you think that he recognizes you, and you think that he understands your language. What are you ascribing now to a human being? What is that quality that you are ascribing to the human being? You are ascribing to him qualities that belong only to Allah, because only Allah knows every creature he created. Does Allah know me personally? Does he recognize me? Yes, because he created me. But will Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani recognize me? Even if he was alive, if I went to him and I stood in front of him, both of us are alive, I'm standing in front of him and I'm saying, Assalamu alaikum ya Shaykh, I am Yavar Beg. Does he know who Yavar Beg is? And I'm speaking to him in English. And here's a man who spoke only Farsi and Arabic. What is he going to say? He'll say, please somebody translate for me. And you think suddenly, if you go to his grave, none of this applies. What are you committing? What are you doing here? Please think about this. Please think about this. My brothers and sisters, save yourself from shirk. Because Allah will forgive everything except shirk. And shaitan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy shaitan. Shaitan traps us in the thing that there is no escape from. Everything else Allah will forgive, not shirk. And I'm not saying this. None of this stuff which I'm telling you is my opinion. It's all in the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very clear in the Quran. Allahu la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah will not forgive those who join partners with him. And he will forgive everything else as he pleases. So doing this stuff doesn't even make logical sense to anybody with any intelligence. Right? And then you might say, well, you know, if there is a text, the text is bigger than the logic. I completely agree with you. So let's see what the text is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatir, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ Who is the أنت? You is who? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ Allah said, not alike. They are not the same. They are not the same. Not alike are the living and the dead. Not alike are the living and the dead. Verily Allah makes whom He wills to hear. Verily Allah makes whom He wills to hear. But you cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. Allah is saying, the living and the dead are not the same. Allah can make whoever He wants to hear. But you, who is the you? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. Not my words. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. وَمَا أَنْتَ مُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ You cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot make those who are in their graves to hear him, how are you going to do that? How do you believe that you can do it? Think about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءِ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily you, who is the مخاطر? Who is you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily you cannot make the dead to hear, nor can you make the deaf, meaning those who are born deaf, to hear the call when they flee turning their backs. Now, two things to understand here. One is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that he in his own capacity, this is like, for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah did not say this, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said to Musa alayhi salam, you cannot part the sea by striking it with your staff. What does it mean? You might say, well, he did that. He did that by the hukum, by the izn, by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who parted the sea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the sea for him. Allah honored his Nabi alayhi salam by telling him, strike the water with your staff. Allah did not need Musa alayhi salam to strike the water with his staff in order to part the sea. This is the way of honoring the Rasul. So Allah said, strike the thing, and therefore the sea parted, and the world says, oh, subhanallah, Musa alayhi salam's karama. Allah could have, this is done by Allah anyway. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders his anbiya and honors his anbiya by making them do some things so that their importance is in the hearts of the people who are watching them. So where here, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you cannot make them hear, Allah is saying you cannot make them hear on your own. Now you might say, well, what about the people? And this is the usual question that is asked, and it's a good question, alhamdulillah, I have nothing against it. The usual question which is asked is that after the Battle of Badr, the mushrikeen and the kuffar, the enemies of the Quraysh who were slain, Rasulullah ﷺ ordered their bodies to be thrown into a dry well. There was there was no water in it, it was a dry hole. So he ordered those bodies to make it into a mass grave. He ordered those bodies to be thrown into that dry well. And this was done. Then Rasulullah ﷺ went there and he stood by the well and he said to them, he is now speaking to those dead bodies. So he said to them, did you find the promise of your Rabb to be true? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you punishment for your sins. Are you seeing that punishment? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came and he stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, ya Rasulullah, these are dead. You are speaking to the dead? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is the life, is my life, they can hear me better than you can hear me. Now how do we explain this hadith? In the light of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot make them hear, but Allah can make them hear. This ayat is proof of this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you cannot make them hear on your own. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of those people in Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to hear you. So now, if I say to you, for example, if I'm arguing, right, if I'm arguing with myself, and if I say that, you know, okay, so you're saying this, but I can say that if I go and stand and speak at the grave of so-and-so, if Allah wants, He can make that person hear me. If Allah wants, He can make that person understand me. What is the answer? The answer is yes. If Allah wants, He can do this. The question is, will He do it for you? And the answer is, no, He will not do it for you. He will not do it for you because you are not the Rasul of Allah. Number one. Number two, if you are going there and standing and asking that person, give me this, give me that, make dua to Allah for me to do this or that, the logical question that I need to ask you is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself said, Udu'uni astajib lakum, ask me and I will give you. Then why do you need somebody in a grave to ask for yourself? Why do you need anybody? Allah Himself said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself said, Udu'uni astajib lakum, ask me, I will give you. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will give you, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, please don't destroy yourself by falling into these completely despicable, miserable, dirty, filthy practices which adulterate and which contaminate the beauty and purity of Tawheed. There is Allah and there is His makhluk. Everything is ghairullah and Allah is Allah. Don't contaminate this belief by equating anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave you the example of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his darajat and fill his qabr with noor and grant him jannatul firdaus wa ala bi ghairi hisab. The same thing applies to everybody. If you went to the Rawda Mubarak in Madina Munawwara, in Masjid Nabawi Sharif, and if you stood in front of the grave of Rasulullah and you asked the same things, the same thing applies. Rasulullah cannot grant you favors. And if he was alive, he would have had you whipped for committing shirk in his presence and in his name. Please don't do these things. Ask only Allah. Worship only Allah. Rasulullah sent this to Ibn Abbas. He said to him, worship only Allah. If you have to bow your head, bow only to Allah. If you want to ask, ask only Allah. And inshallah then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you when you need help. And the most help we need is when we are ready to go into our graves. And at that time, if we die with these false, shirki, mushrikeen, aqaid, beliefs about this one and that one and giving to them this and that quality, then we would have died with shirk. So what helps those who have passed away? Number one, dua of maghfirah, asking Allah to forgive them. And this is what the Salatul Janaza is. Salatul Janaza is not namaz, it is not salah as in worship of the person. It is salah as in the meaning of dua, and dua for the janaza is the dua for the forgiveness of that person. So this is what Salatul Janaza is. The duas of people affect the person who died. So if you seek forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will forgive them. The second thing which benefits people is the actions and the good deeds, and also du'as and the and so on by the children of that person. So if the children do, that is an automatic benefit which goes to that person. You might say, well, if I have no children, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to to grant you that which you, he chose not to give you children. So inshallah he will grant you benefits even though you don't have children, and Allah does not discriminate in favor of somebody and against somebody because of his decrees. The other thing which will benefit you, and this is the reason why we should teach good things to people, is anyone who learns something good from you, you will continue to receive benefit from their actions. So even if that person is not your child, so all teachers, inshallah, all the actions of your students will benefit you. So continue to teach good things to your students. Now Rasulullah said, a man's status, a person's status will be raised in Jannah, and he will ask, how did I get here? And he will be told that your sons or daughters du'as for forgiveness got you here. And this is in Sahih Jami and in Ibn Majah. Another thing that may reach the deceased is sadaqah, which is given on their behalf. So any kind of sadaqah, whether it's, you know, money, charity, or sacrifice in Eid al-Adha, if you sacrifice an animal for the benefit of in the name of your mother, father, whoever, then all of this will inshallah benefit them. And the dalil of this is because Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, she reported that a man asked Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, my mother passed away, and if she could have spoken, she would have given something in charity. Will she receive a reward if I give something on her behalf? And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said yes. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the mother of Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu died when he was away from her. He was traveling, went somewhere. And when he returned, he said, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, my mother died and I was away from her. Will it benefit her anything if I give in charity on her behalf? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. And he, that is Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he said, then I ask you to be my witness that I am giving my date garden, my orchard, Al-Mikhraf, It was a date garden. It's called Al-Mihrab because it was a very, very productive date garden in charity on my mother's behalf. And this is in also in Sahih Bukhari. Other deeds which may also benefit the deceased are Hajj and Umrah on their behalf. So after the person who has done it has performed Hajj on his or her own behalf. So once you have done Hajj, you can do Hajj for your somebody who passed away. So may not be only mother and father, can be anybody, but somebody who passed away, you can do Hajj for them. I always advise, and whenever I do Hajj for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I always advise people, if you are making Hajj or Umrah, make it for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because alhamdulillah, this guarantees you that your Hajj will be accepted, inshallah. Because if you are making it for the Nabi alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it, and Allah will grant you in keeping with His Majesty and grace, and in keeping with His love for His Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam, inshallah. And so that Hajj and that Umrah will be the most beautiful that you can ever do. So once you have completed your Hajj, for Umrah, you don't have to do an Umrah first before you do for anybody. You can do it anyway. But Hajj, if you have completed your Hajj, you make your own Hajj, make sure your Fard is over. After that, every Hajj you make it for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to that, of course, if you have, you know, your parents and so on, if they have passed away, make Hajj for them. Make Hajj for them. You can do that. That benefits them. Umrah you can do for your parents and whoever passed away, your friends and relatives and so on. It will benefit them. Abdullah bin Buraida radiallahu anhu reported from his father. He said, while I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came to him and said, I gave my mother a slave in charity, and now my mother has died. And he said, you have got your reward, and your right of inheritance has brought the gift back to you. She said, Ya Rasulullah, she still had 1 month to fast. So she had missed 1 month of fasting. She said, she missed that. Can I fast on her behalf? He said, fast it on her behalf. Then this lady said, she never went to Hajj. Can I perform Hajj on her behalf? He said, perform Hajj on her behalf. So this shows us that it is permissible to make Hajj and Umrah on behalf of somebody who died. And also it is permissible to fast on behalf of somebody who passed away. Another thing that can benefit the deceased is to fulfill their nadar, their vow. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, my mother had made a vow to perform Hajj, but she died before she could do it. Can I perform Hajj on her behalf? And he said, yes, perform Hajj on her behalf. Don't you think that if your mother owed a debt, you would pay it off? She said, yes. He said, then pay off what she owed to Allah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more deserving of having vows fulfilled. And this is in Bukhari. This refers to taking a vow, saying people, and this is again something which is not recommended, to that you take these vows. For example, people say, Ya Allah, if I get this and this, I will do a Hajj. If I get this and this, I will give $10 million in charity. Don't bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua, Allah will accept it. Allah inshallah will give it to you. Allah did not say, when you make dua, do a bargain. There's no need to do all that. Do your own charity, alhamdulillah, make dua, don't make this. But if you do it, if you say, for example, I will do this if this happens, then this is fard on you. This is a duty, and this is a debt you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't fulfill it, you will be punished. So don't fall into that trap. Don't even make this thing. But if you do it, then make sure you complete it. And if you have not completed it, make a wasiyah that somebody should do it on your behalf. And I'm saying to the children that if your parents have done this, or if you, not only children, can be anybody, if you know somebody who's done it and they have not fulfilled it, and do a favor for them, fulfill it on their behalf, inshallah. Another thing that may benefit the deceased is if his relative devotes a share to him of a sacrifice, which means for Eid al-Adha, if you sacrifice a animal for a person, whoever that person might be a relative, might be a friend and so on, then this will inshallah benefit them. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered his sacrifice, he said, in the name of Allah, O Allah, on behalf of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the family of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is Sahih Muslim, and the family of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam included both who were living at the time and those who had passed away. So we know that the benefit of the sacrifice will go to those, also to those who have passed away. Now, is the punishment in the grave, first of all, is there punishment in the grave? And secondly, is it continuous? This is another big, it is another, big problem that people believe that there is no punishment in the grave. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi, he said, the answer there is that the punishment in the grave, first of all, there is punishment in the grave because we know we make this dua in Salah, Allahumma inni a'uzubika min azabin nari wa azabil qabr. Rasulullah made this dua, O Allah, save me from the hellfire and save me from the azab of the qabr, from the punishment of the grave. So we know that there is punishment in the grave. There are many, many ahadith concerning the grave and the punishment in it. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah, he said, one is continuous, apart from what has been narrated in some hadith, which say that it will be reduced during the period between the two blasts of the trumpet, and then when they are raised from their graves, they will say, woe to us who has raised up from our place of sleep. Further evidence that this punishment will be continuous is to be seen in the ayah where in Surah Al-Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "An-naru yuraduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya. Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'atu adkhilu 'ala fir'auna ashaddal 'adhab." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fire, they are exposed to it, and he's talking about the people of Fir'aun and his people. The fire, they are exposed to it morning and afternoon. And on the day when the hour will be established, that is Day of Judgment, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun's people to enter the severest torment. Now, obviously it means that they are getting punishment before that day, and when the day is established, they will get more. This is also indicated by the hadith of Samura radiallahu anhu, which was narrated by in Bukhari, about the dream in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that being done to the person who was being punished in the grave until the Day of Judgment. And also by the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu about the story of the two palm branches which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for, and he was walking, he saw there were two graves there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people with him, he said, get me some leaves. So they brought him two branches of date palm tree. Rasulullah ﷺ put them one on each of the graves, and he made dua, and he said that inshallah the punishment in their graves will be reduced as long as these palm branches do not dry out, and so therefore the period of the punishment lessening is related, is also time bound. This will happen to them. Incidentally, Rasulullah ﷺ said that they are being punished for backbiting and for allowing urine to splash on their clothes and their feet. So tahara is such an important thing. The second kind of punishment of the grave, which will happen for a while and then stop, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all punishment, not short term, long term. Just imagine if you put your hand on a stove or on a hot stove, how long can you keep your hand on the hot stove? Forget about hot stove, big deal. If you light a candle, how long can you hold your finger in the flame? So short term, long term has no meaning. It is the shortest term is itself the most painful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all punishment, inshallah. So second, some punishment which will be for a while and then stop is for those sinners whose sins were not so great. So first of all, here we are not talking only and strictly and exclusively about Muslims. People who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their punishment is everlasting, that will never stop. But people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they committed sins. That's why it's so important not to commit sins and to continuously seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that they will be punished according to the magnitude of their sins. And the punishment then will stop or reduce, just as they will be punished in the fire and then the punishment will end. So this is again, in the grave is one part and the jhanam is another. The punishment of the grave may also be stopped by dua, by charity, by seeking forgiveness, or by the reward of Hajj, which may reach the deceased from some of their relatives or others, which is the reason why we should do it, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless those who have passed away. Now, there are a lot of customs and practices, what is called ziyarat and chahallum and barsi and so on and so forth. None of this will benefit the dead. These are bid'at, these are in themselves haram. Please don't do them. These have been imported into Islam from Hinduism, from Christianity and from other places. These have no place in the deen of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do the chahallum and the barsi and the ziyarat of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, who passed away before him. If he had to do it, he would have done it for her, because he loved her more than anybody else. He did not do any of those things for her. He did not do any ziyarat and chahallum and barsi for Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who passed away before him, and he loved Hamza radiallahu anhu more than anybody else. None of the Sahaba did chahallum and barsi and whatnot for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. All of these are things which we have imported, especially in the Indo-Pak culture, in the subcontinental culture. We have imported this from Hinduism. Other people have imported similar things from Christianity. Please leave all these things. All of these are haram. All of these are bid'ah. Don't go there. Don't do it. Don't participate in it. And if somebody is doing it, advise them very nicely not to do it. Don't fight with them. Just advise them and tell them that what they are doing is shirk. It is harmful for them, and if Allah does not protect, it will harm the person for whom they are doing it also. Please don't allow this to happen. Now, the deeds that do not benefit the dead and are a cause of punishment for the living are the various customs and events commemorating various dates and so on after a person dies, and also all the kinds of stuff they cook certain foods, and they do things, and they burn incense, and all of these are practices which are bid'at and which are haram. And please do not do that. Don't eat that food. Don't go there. Don't participate in that. If somebody is doing it in ignorance, then they are ignorant. If somebody is doing it with the belief that it will help them, then they are mushrikeen. They are committing shirk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the punishment of the grave altogether, and to decree for us all the bashara relating to the time of death, which I have mentioned to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the day we die the best day of our lives, and to give us death in a state of purity from sin, in a state of iman, while reciting his ayat and glorifying him. Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah before we die, and to accept this tawbah, and to give us in death in a state of shahada fi sabilillah, and to decree for us his forgiveness and jannah without hisab when we die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the company of the blessed, the al-abrar, as-salihin, as-siddiqeen, as-shuhada. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa nabiyin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the company of the best of the best, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah for the company of the blessed and the best of the best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be admitted to Al Jannatul Firdaus with our families, to be therein forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us and to grant us death in a state of iman, and with the kalima in a state of sujood, shahada fi sabilillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease for us the tests and the questions of the grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our graves and all the graves of the Muslims, every single one of them who died till today, and every single one of them who will die from today until the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free them from the adab of the qabr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill their qubur with nur. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their qubur big and make them from the gardens of Jannah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa promised. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate their qubur with his nur. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us death in a state when He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us death without the pain of sakrat. We ask Allah to give us death without having to go to hospitals and doctors and machines and respirators and all kinds of stuff. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us death in a state of dignity, in a state of iman, in a state of peace and harmony, in a state where we are connected with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us on the Day of Judgment with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with His Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majmain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the shade of His arsh on the day when there is no shade except His shade. I always make this dua and I say, Ya Allah, this whole earth and everything it contains is like a dot. It's like a grain, you know, of sand on a beach. Your arsh is bigger than the entire universe. The shade of Your arsh for us who are a part of the population of this dot. Ya Allah, how much space will we take? Please give us this space. Because You are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You are the most forgiving, the most merciful. Give us this space. Give us this shade of Your arsh on the day when there will be no shade except Your shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us and to show us His rahmah and His karama and his pleasure with us. Show us those signs in this dunya and show us those signs when we are shaded under His arsh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on His hawd al-kawthar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we say salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and He returns our salam and gives us dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that we get the water of Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to drink it and never be thirsty thereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we cross the Sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that we sit at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdausul A'la and listen to him reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem in his beautiful voice. I envy the Sahaba for this, subhanAllah, that they listen to the recitation of the Quran in the voice of the Sahib Al-Quran, who received the Quran, for whom it was revealed, on whom it was revealed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this on the Day of Judgment, or when we enter Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la, to sit at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and listen to the beautiful recitation of the Quran in his beautiful voice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us his own ruya, to give us his didar on the Day of Judgment, and to be among those for whom it will be announced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannatul Firdaus, are you satisfied? They will say, Ya Rab, how can we not be satisfied? He will say, shall I give you something even better? They will say, Ya Rab, what can be better than this? And he will say, I am pleased with you and I will never be displeased with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that all of us are those who will hear this in Jannatul Firdausul A'la and for whom this announcement will be made. I make this dua for myself. I make this dua for all of you. I make this dua for all the Muslims, from the first one to the last one. My brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts with Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearts of all people who are Salim al-Fitrat, whose hearts are pure. All our friends, our dear friends who are not Muslim, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up their hearts to Islam. All our relatives who may not be practicing Islam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter in their hearts love for Him and love for His Rasul and love for His Deen and make them practicing Muslims who will be in the shade of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my sins and my errors in narrating all this and in speaking all this and to cover me in His forgiveness and His mercy. And I ask you to make this dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this work from me. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.